campus students to this event. Those of you who know me are aware of the fact that I have been trying to bring in new items into the repertoire of the alumni and to increase the type of programs that are being run. Some of you were at our rabbinic security meeting. Some of you took advantage of the recording of the homiletic sessions that we made available. We're going to be announcing to you shortly information concerning our rabbinic convention and a high holiday sermon seminar. But of all the activities that the rabbinic alumni will be undertaking this year, we are going to place a large emphasis on learning. You will be receiving news of a correspondence course in Talmud being arranged by some of our younger Rosh Yeshiva, which will be sent out to our men. We're going to be having periodic halakha sessions during the year. I'm happy to announce that Rabbi Beryl Wein of the OU has agreed to speak at the first one on problems involved in kosher supervision. And again, news of that will be going out to you shortly. But of all the events that we're inaugurating, I think one of the ones that, or the one that gives me the greatest pride, is the fact that the Rav is speaking this morning on a halakhic matter to the members of the rabbinic alumni in terms of a halakhic shiur. Of all our rebbes, the Rav stands head and shoulders above all in our estimation. And it's with great delight that he has agreed to undertake the inauguration of this series. I don't want to delay you with a drasha. I'd just like to remind the Rav that 14 years ago, he spoke on Chukas and said that God waited 39 years to see whether Moses could communicate with the next generation, and that when he was unable to do so, it was determined that he would not lead them into the promised land. We have been blessed with a Rebbe who can communicate to all ages and all generations. He communicates so well, in fact, that he's in constant demand for all sorts of lectures, speeches, and convocations. It's with a great sense of pride that I like to just say that he agreed to do this as a favor to the rabbinic alumni, and the rabbinic alumni is in deep gratitude for him. I don't have to do any more than just say it's my pleasure to introduce the Rav.
First of all, let me say I've never said what Rabbi Herskes attributed to me. Certainly not in that manner in which it was presented to you. However, I'm going now to discharge a duty and to be. Ah, you don't hear? A matter of fact, Rabbi Herskes invited me.
Is it better?
I don't know, just ask them. There's a mic too. The Rabbi Herskes invited, extends invitation to me to meet the alumni. What is it?
Is this better? Fine.
Well, Rabbi Herskes invited me to meet with the alumni, so I was under the impression that he meant with a committee from the alumni, the elderly opponent of the alumni, consisting of 10, 12, 15, and I am sincere, and just to discuss certain halachic matters. And it turned out that, when I came into the hall and I saw the crowd, I was surprised, taken aback. Anyway, I cannot go back on my promise, it's too late. So I'll have to do something about it, and not discuss, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I mean, I'll just develop three ideas about Gerus, halachic ideas. No philosophy, no theology, no psychology. But halachic ideas about Gerus, and if you want to ask questions, I mean, I'll be glad, I'll be happy to answer. However, before I'm going to do that, I have to discharge another duty, and believe me, I do it with sadness in my heart. But I somehow, you know me, I've never criticized anybody, I've never attacked anybody, and I've never set myself up as a Georgian arbiter who approves or disapproves of the statements made by some people. Whatever today, what you say it in Hebrew, kolu kolakitzi. And I feel it's my duty to say to make the following statement. Is it not audible?
Gentlemen, you're making noise. It's not going to help. If you want to move your chairs up closer. Oh, they're not that close, please. Give them any room. Come on.
Perhaps standing would be better.
For you, no.
That, no.
No.
So now I'll try again. And as I told you, I mean, I'm going to make the following statement. And I'm very sad that I have to do it. But somehow I cannot. I have no choice in the matter. There is no alternative. What I'm going to say is, I want you to understand, is my credo about Tere and the way Tere should be taught and Tere should be studied. Being a Rosh Yeshiva, a teacher of Talmud, a teacher all my life, at least the major part of my adult life, I have taught many, many people, and I don't know how many, but many people. And when I do teach, time comes to a stop for me. I don't look at the timepiece, the clock, or at my wristwatch. I just teach. It is a very, I don't know, to me teaching has a tremendous, a very strange impact upon me. I simply feel when I do Twitch Tere, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. Even now when I am old, of course, certainly not young, teaching Torah, I mean, shiurim, or teaching Torah, relieves me of the fear of death and of all the blues and depressive moments which elderly people go through. When I do teach, I feel rejuvenated, and as if I were 25 or 30 years old. If not for the study and teaching of Torah, I would have lost my sanity in the year of triple avalis in 67. I was on the verge of mental collapse, breakdown. I did not. I emerged victorious. And this is due to one thing only. My mad dedication to talk. I'm not trying to brag or to boast. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I was hit that year and the following years. I felt somehow, because of teaching Torah, that I was not lonely. I was not alone. Somebody was invisible. But I felt his presence. To confide that there was somebody on whose shoulder I could cry, and there was somebody from whom I could almost demand the words of solace and comfort. People don't know, again, please take it in the proper spirit, I'm not bragging. You don't know what my schedule is. They know I say shurim here. All right, fine, I say three times a week, in the yeshiva. The shurim, an hour and a half, never happens that I should get through in an hour and a half in the shurim. So 2 hours and sometimes 3 hours, sometimes more than 3 hours. It's very strange, the boys who sit in my class are very young, perhaps one quarter of my age, one third of my age, but they come out exhausted, I come out refreshed. After this year. Then I come into Boston, so every Friday morning from 8:30, for 3 hours until 11:30, I study with my son-in-law. Saturday, believe me that I can't afford to take a nap on Saturday morning. I haven't taken a nap on Saturday morning for the last, 20 years perhaps, because I study with my grandchildren. I study with Moshe 3 hours, please. And I study with Meir 2.5 hours. The same is Sunday and the same is Monday. I have no time sometimes to sit down and to relax. The study of Torah has had such a great cathartic impact upon me, as you understand it, and is rooted in the wondrous experience I always have when I open up the Gemara. Somehow, when I do open up the Gemara, either alone or when I am in company, so to say, and I do teach others, I have the impression, don't call it hallucination, it's not an hallucination, I have the impression as if I heard, soft footsteps of somebody invisible who comes in and sits down with me, sometimes looking over my shoulder. It is simply the idea is, it's not a mystical idea. It is the Gemara, the Mishnah in Oris, the Gemara in Brocheset, Afili Yochit Veisik Batera, Ishchino Shchuyo. And we all believe that the Nesin HaTera, the one who gave us the Tera, has never deserted the Tera. And he simply walks, he accompanies the Tera wherever the Tera has a rendezvous or an appointment, a date with somebody, he's there. Therefore, the study of Torah has never been for me a dry, formal, intellectual performance act. No matter how important a role the intellect plays, if you live with that area, you know very well that I place very much, a great deal of emphasis upon the intellectual understanding and analysis of the Alochas. You know that, this is actually what But my grandfather, Chaim Avrocha, I mean, actually introduced. And you know, and I can tell you, and I told it so many times, and I tell it again, our methodology, our analysis, and our manner of conceptualizing and inferring and classifying and defining things, halachic matters, does not lag behind the most modern, I mean, philosophical analysis. I happen to know something about it. We are far ahead of it. See, the tools, the logical tools, the epistemological instruments which we employ in order to analyze a sugya, let us say in Cheska Sabbatim, in Orves, or in Shabbos, or in Bava Kamma, it doesn't matter, are the most modern. They are very impressive. A great share in that, I mean, had my grandfather. But anyway, we avail ourselves of the most modern methods of understanding, of abstracting, of inferring, of classifying, defining, and so forth and so on. So there is no doubt that the intellect plays a tremendous role in Limud HaTorah. However, Talmud Torah is more than intellectual performance. It is a total, all-encompassing, and all-embracing involvement. Mind and heart, will and feeling. The very center of the human personality. The emotional, emotional man, logical man, voluntaristic man, all of them are involved in the study of Torah. Talmud Torah is basically, for me, an ecstatic experience through which one meets God. And again, I want to say whatever I told you now is not just mysticism due to my mystical inclinations. It isn't so. The Gemara says so. Chazal have equated Talmud Torah with revelation. The great event, drama, Gilish Rine, is reenacted and restaged and relived every time a Jew opens a Gemara. The Talmud in Brochas, while discussing the problem of Balkeri, the Risotere Balkeri, expressed itself as follows. The sign of a daitom livonecho vlivnei vonecho, yeim asher omayeto lifnei adeshem lekecho becherev, male alein beimo beiro ubereses ubezia, afkan beimo beire ubereses ubezia. But make them known into thy children and thy children's children, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God in Cheref. So the Torah didn't say, made known the aloches. More than that, made known simply your rendezvous with God. It means they should experience exactly what you did experience when you stood before thy God in Cheref. How did the people stood before God in Cheref? With fear or with a tremor in their hearts, trembling. So must every Jew who engages in Talmud Torah stand before God with fear, awe, and tremor. And that's why Balkeri is also B'dinei Torah. This is the reason. It's not the Tumah, but he is not in the mood to experience the presence of the Almighty. To experience revelation every time he engages in study. So if a Jew cannot experience revelation when he is busy studying, so he's also a Talmud Torah. This is the reason for Balkeri. In other words, the study of the Torah is an ecstatic, metaphysical performance. The study of the Torah is an act of And the study of the Torah is an act of surrender. This is important. What does a Jew surrender when he studies the Torah? And that's why Chazal have emphasized so many times the importance of humility. The importance of humility. And the proud person can never be a great scholar. Only the humble person. Why is it necessary? Because study of Torah means meeting the Almighty, of course. And if a finite being meets the infinite, the Almighty, the maker of the world, of course, this meeting must precipitate a mood of humility. What in humility, I mean, results in surrender. What do we surrender to the Almighty? We surrender first two things, in my opinion. I'll explain. We surrender to the Almighty the everyday logic, or what I call it, the mercantile logic, or the logic of the businessman, or the logic of the utilitarian person. And we embrace another logic, Messina. And secondly, we also surrender the everyday will, which is very utilitarian, very superficial. And we embrace another will, the will Messina. And it is that, as I told you before, it's not just Drush, homiletics. The Rambam, when he explains Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim and Krishma, and he explains the Gemara Metumah Kodmo Parsha Shema with Parsha Svoyim Shemeya, to Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim Tchilo. So the Rambam enumerates the elements of Seil Malchus Shemayim. He's Avosei, love of God, Yirosei, fear of God, Vetalmudei. And Talmud Torah is Shu Yikar HaGodei L'Shakel Tolerei. This Talmud Torah is an act. Talmud Torah means Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim. And that's the reason why Talmud Torah, I mean, one must not study the Torah unless he says the Birkes HaTorah. This is the reason for Kaddish Derabbanan. Because Talmud Torah constitutes an act of surrender, of Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim, of accepting the harness of mitzvahs. Interesting is, Chazal always said, Eil Malchus Shemayim. Why not Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim? Why not Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim? Why Eil Malchus Shemayim? So what's the answer? The answer is, if it's Kabbalas Eil Malchus Shemayim, means when Malchus Shemayim is convenient, cooperated with man. When man has the impression as if Malchus Shemayim is out to promote his everyday business. And Malchus Shemayim is good, is acceptable, even from a pragmatic, pure pragmatic viewpoint. From a purely utilitarian viewpoint. So that's why Chazal have always inserted the word ale, harness. Harness means regardless of the fact that Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim is sometimes very uncomfortable. And requires of men sacrificial action. And it is a heavy yoke. It's a yoke. So still, I mean, the Kabbalah must take place. Let me now just enumerate the aspects of Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shemayim, which is identical with Talmud Torah. What does Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim require of the limit of the person who studies Torah? First, we must pursue the truth. And nothing else but the truth. However, the truth in Talmud Torah can be achieved through singular halachic Torah thinking and Torah understanding. The truth is attained from within in accord with the methodology given to Moses and passed down from generation to generation. The truth can be discovered only through joining the ranks of the Chachmei HaMesechta. It's ridiculous to say, I have discovered something of which the Rashba didn't know, the Akteis didn't know, the Vilna Gaon had no knowledge. I have discovered an approach to the interpretation of Torah which is completely new. It's ridiculous. One has to join the ranks of the Chachmei HaMesechta, Chazal, Rishenim, Gdil Achrenim, and must not try to rationalize from without. The Chuki Atere, and judge, must not judge, Chuki Mishpotim, in terms of a secular system of values. Such an attempt, be it historicism, be it psychologism, be it utilitarianism, undermines the very foundations of Tere Umasere. And it leads eventually to the most tragic consequences of assimilationism and nihilism. No matter how good the intentions are of the person who suggested. Second, we must not yield, I mean emotionally, it's very important. We must not feel inferior, I mean develop experience, inferiority complex. And because of that complex, yield to the charm. Usually it's a transient passing charm.
Just a minute.
Of modern political or ideological slogans. Very good. I say not only not to compromise, certainly not to compromise, but even not to yield emotionally, not to feel inferior, not to experience an inferiority complex. And it should never occur to me that it's important if we would cooperate just a little bit with the modern trend or with the secular modern philosophy. In my opinion, Yahadus does not have to apologize either to the modern woman or to the modern representatives of religious subjectivism. There's no need for apology. We should have pride in our Maseir, in our heritage. And of course, certainly, it goes without saying, one must not try to compromise with those cultural trends. And one must not try to gear the halachic norm to the transient values of a neurotic society. That's what our society is. Third, Kabbalah Seu Malchus Shemayim, which is an identical act with that of Talmud Torah, requires of us to revere and to love and to admire the words of the Chachmei HaMesechta. Bidei Tanoim, Bidei Amoraim, Bidei Rishenim, I don't care. This is our prime duty. They are the final authorities. An irresponsible statement about Chazal borders, I don't like to use the word, but according to my mind as it is, and the heretic. Because the Rambam says about Zdukim, the Rambam says, who is that Zduki? You have a Rambam? וכן הכיפר בפירושה, הרמב״ם תרגים ומחס תשובה, אמר אחרס, וכן הכיפר בפירושה, והוא תירו שבעל פה, והמכחיש מגידאו, בין צודק וביתס. It's very strange, I'm going to discuss it with my father. If he says that whoever denies the truthfulness or the authenticity of Tirosh Baal Peh is a tzduki, why did he add V'yamakrish Magideo? Whoever denies the authority of the scholars of the Chachma, of the Maseret. So apparently the Rambam says that under the category of Kofrim Batere are classified not only those who deny that, for instance, Nisach HaMayim is required, or HaRovesh HaMiglesh is required, or they deny the Torah Shebaal Peh, but then there's no doubt about it. But moreover, even those who admit the Torah Shebaal Peh, that admit the truthfulness of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but they are critical of Chachmei Chazal as personalities. We find fault with Chachmei Chazal, fault in their character, Rachmana Litzlan, or in their behavior, in their conduct. See, Chachmei Chazal had a, we are prejudiced, which actually has no impact upon the Halacha. Nevertheless, he is to be considered as a kefir. וכן הכיפר בפירושה ותירו שבעל פה והמכחיש מגידאו. את מי והמכחיש מגידאו? He denies the perfection and the truthfulness of Chachmei Chazal. Not of the Torah, again. But of the Chachmei Chazal as personalities. As real persona. As far as their character is concerned, their philosophy is concerned, their outlook on the world is concerned. Well, let me add something. It's very important. Not only the halachos, but also the chazokos, which Chachmei Chazal have introduced, are indestructible. We must not temper, not only with the halachos, but even with the chazokos. For the chazokos, which Chazal spoke of, rest not upon transient, psychological, behavioral patterns, but upon permanent ontological principles rooted in the very depth of the human personality, in the metaphysical human personality, which is as changeless as the heavens above. Let's take an example. The Chazoke, for instance, that's what I was told about. Chazoke from Tan Lemesav Dum Lemesav Amale. There's absolutely nothing to do with the social and political status of the woman in antiquity. The Chazoke is based not upon his sociological factors, but upon a verse in Bereshis. Arbe, arbe, itzveinech v'oryenech, be'etzef tel debonin v'lishach tshukosech v'yim shalbor. I will greatly multiply thy pain, and thy travail, in pain thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It is a metaphysical curse rooted in the feminine personality. She suffers incomparably more than the male who, while in solitude. Solitude to the male is not as terrible an experience, as a horrifying experience, as solitude to a woman. And this will never change. Skimeya Shamayim Alor will never change. Because it's not a psychological fact, it's an existential fact. It's not due to the inferior status of the woman, but it's due to the difference, to the basic distinction between the human person, between the female personality and the male personality. Loneliness frightens the women. And an old spinster's life is much more miserable and tragic than the life of an old bachelor. And this was true in antiquity, it is still true, and it will be true 8,000 years from now. So to say that Tandu the base of armor was due, or is due, to the inferior political or social status of the women, it simply means simply misinterpreting the Chazoke from Tandum and the Mace of Amalek. And no legislation can alleviate the pain of a single woman, and can change, no legislation can change this role. She was burdened with that by the Almighty after she violated the first norm. And let me ask you a question. Rabbeinu Shlomo, God Almighty, if you should start modifying and reassessing the chazokes upon which a multitude of halachas rest, you will destroy Yahadus. So instead of philosophizing, let us rather light a match and set fire to the basis oil. So we'll get rid of all problems. And I was told that it was recommended that the method of Afkinu Rabbono L'Kedushimene be reintroduced. If this recommendation be accepted, I hope it will not be accepted. However, if this recommendation be accepted, then there will be no need for a gift. No need for a gift. We will be able to cross out this Mishnah, this Aloche. Every rabbi will suspend the Kedushin. And why should all not be this Aloche, if such a privilege exists, why should this privilege be monopolized by the Rabbanus of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Israel? Why couldn't the Rabbinical Assembly do as well as the Rabbanus of Rosh Hashanah? If the problem is Afkina Rabbanu L'Kedushimene, oh. What are you out? To destroy everything? There will be out there, I'll be relieved after Misichtes, I wouldn't have to say sure. I'll give no Kedusha. And then Yeromah says, well. And I want to be frank and open. Do you expect to survive as Orthodox rabbis? Or do you expect to carry on the Masere under such circumstances? Chaos will replace the Torah. I hope that those who are present here will join me in objecting to such symposia and to such discussions and debates at the rabbinical convention. When I was told about it, I thought, would it be possible? I cannot imagine that at the Republican National Convention or Democratic National Convention there should be introduced a symposium whether communism and democracy, perhaps communism should replace democracy in the United States. Could you imagine such a possibility? I not. Because there are certain postulates to which people are, a certain system of postulates which people are committed. And such a discussion, for instance, at the National Convention of the Republican Party would be outside of the system of postulates which the American people are committed to. and to speak about changing halachas of Chazal is, of course, is at least as nonsensical as discussing communism at the Republican National Convention. It's discussing self-destruction, methods of self-destruction and suicide. I know, you don't have to tell it to me, because B'secha Melech Yeshiva, I don't live in an ivory tower, and I don't live in a fool's paradise. I know that modern life is very complex. I know your problems. Many of your problems are passed on to me. We are confronted with horrible problems. Social, political, cultural, and economic. Problems with that, of the family, problems of the community, and problems of society in general. We feel, and I sometimes feel like you, as if we were swimming against the tide. The tide is moving rapidly with tremendous force in the opposite direction in which we are moving. I feel it, I know that. I mean, you don't have to tell it to me. The crowd, the great majority has deserted us and cares for nothing. I know the danger of Mr. Itarubes, of weddings, of church weddings, in which a Jew or a Jewess, I mean, is united in marriage, I mean, by a priest and some reform rabbi. I know all of that. We are facing not some challenge, and I might mindful of all that. I don't live, as I told you, in a fool's paradise. However, if you think that the solution lies in a reformist philosophy or in an extraneous interpretation of the halacha, you are badly mistaken. It is self-evident. Many problems are insoluble. You can't help it. For instance, about the problem of the Tumamzir in the Eretz Yisrael, you can't help it. We have the institution of Mamzer. No one can abandon it. Neither the Rav Rashi nor the Reish Agilo, I mean, cannot be abandoned. It's a posek in Chumash Lo Yeveh Mamzer b'Kalah Deshuv. It's very tragic. The Medrash already spoke about it, where Isis Dimas HaShukim. But it's a reality, it's a religious reality. Is if we say to our opponents, or to the dissident Jews, that is our stand, they'll dislike us, they'll say we are inflexible, we are ruthless, we are cruel, but they'll respect us. But however, if you try to cooperate with them, or even if certain halachic schemes are introduced from within, I don't know, you would not commend love, you would not get their love, but you'll certainly lose their respect. It's exactly what happened in Eretz Yisrael. What can we do? This is Teres Meisha, this is surrender. This is Kabbalah saying, Malchus Shemayim. Who is surrender? The Torah summons the Jew to live heroically. We cannot allow a nation shish, no matter how tragic the case is, to remarry without a get. We cannot allow, permit a Giyiris to marry a Cain, and sometimes the cases are very tragic. I know from my own experience. I had a case in Rochester that a Gentile girl, she became a Giyiris, the woman became a Giyiris before she met a boy, and she was a real Giyiris Hatzadik. She did not join our fold because she wanted to marry somebody, Giyiris Hatzadik. And then she met a Jewish boy. He came from an alienated background, had absolutely no knowledge of Yahadus. She brought him close to Yahadus. And they got engaged, and he visited the cemetery. Since he came closer to Yahadus, he wanted to find out about his family, about it. about his family tree. So he visited the cemetery in which his grandfather was buried, and he saw a strange symbol, ten fingers. Like, so he began to ask, he thought it's some mystical symbol. So he discovered that he's a king. What can we do? This is the halacha, that a king is also begrusha, big years. I know the problems. We surrender to the will of the Almighty. On the other hand, to say that the halacha is not sensitive to problems and not responsive to the need of the people is an outright falsehood. We surrender to the will of the Almighty. On the other hand, to say that the halacha is not sensitive to problems and not responsive to the need of the people is an outright falsehood. The halacha is responsive to the need of both the community and the individual. But the halacha has its own orbit, moves at a certain definitive speed, has its own pattern of responding to a challenge, its own criteria and principles. And I come from a rabbinic house, and it's called Beis Harav, the house in which I come, into which I was born. And believe me, Rav Chaim used to try his best to be a legal. However, but there were limits. Not even to Torah prime schools. Beyond, when you reach the boundary line, is all you can say, I surrender to the will of the Almighty. This sadness in my heart, and I share in the suffering of the poor woman or the poor girl, who was instrumental in bringing him back to the fold, and then she had to lose him, she lost him, and she walked away. But this is why the Rambam says that Talmud Torah is identical with Kabbalah Silvach HaShemayim. And to speak about halacha as a fossil Rahman of Islam is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Because we know those who study halacha, it's a living, dynamic discipline which was given to man in order to redeem and to save him. We are opposed to shinuim, of course. But chidush is certainly the very essence of halacha. There are no shinuim in halacha, but there are great chidushim in halacha. But chidushim are within the system, not from the outside. You cannot psychologize halacha, historicize halacha, or rationalize halacha. Because this is something something foreign, something extraneous. As a matter of fact, not only halacha. Can you say college? Can you say collegeized mathematics? I'll ask you a question. After all, mathematics was. Well, let us take the Euclidean geometry. I can give many psychological explanations of why Euclid said the two parallels don't cross. Or the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. If I were a psychologist, I could interpret it in psychological terms. Would it change the postulate, the mathematical postulate? And more down the pool, I mean, Almighty God. When it comes to Torah, which is Nakodesh Baruch Hu, is all the instruments of psychology and history and utilitarian morality, I mean, are being used in order to undermine the very authority of the halacha. The human being is invited to be creative, inventive, and engage in inspiring research from within, but not from without. Instead of complaining against the inflexibility of halacha, let us expose its endless, let's explore its endless spaces, I mean, and enjoy Talmud Torah. And to find in Talmud Torah a redemptive, cathartic, and inspiring reality. All right, that's all I want to say. Now let us get to the shiur. They give it to
gentlemen, Averim, we have your attention. It's hard enough to be heard without talking. Certainly your talking will not help.
Let me just say, before we touch Gerus, I want to tell you something. That will be characteristic of our approach. A Ger has complete Kedushas Yisrael. There is no difference between the Kedushas Yisrael of a Ger and the Kedushas Yisrael, what shall I say, of David HaMelech. The same Kedushas Yisrael. The fact that a Ger was disqualified by the Torah for certain functions, like Saint Tosel Yisuch Alos Alecho Ish Nochri, he cannot hold an office, is not characteristic at all of our view of the Ger as a Yisrael. It does not reflect any, what shall I say, any negative approach on the part of the Aloche to the Ger. The Ger is just as a great aristocrat as a Romani. There is not a single bit of difference between a Ger and the Rabban Shal Yisroel of a King Godel. It's the same Kedushas Yisroel. But a Ger is disqualified, I mean, with regard to certain functions and certain missions. Actually, one mission, he cannot hold an office.
The
Mutam Zeres is also not because he has less Kedushas Yisroel. But the Kal Gerim Lik Rekol. But even a Mamzer has Kedushas Yisroel. I mean, there is in Michas Chinuch a possibility that Michas Chinuch speaks about a combination of Cain and Mamzer. If possible, that a Mamzer might be a King Godel. Who knows? I mean, there's long Michas Chinuch about it. Long mir es rinoch aber. Mamza kei, weil a mamzer es cancel di dusha skune. So, a suge ye vames a ramon a raive, kei in patsu edako. But it is halachically not mutually two halachic concepts, mamzerus and kehune, are not always, not mutually exclusive. And I may hear it, אפילו ממזר כן גו, אפילו אפילו כן גו דלם הורץ. ומאמזר תלמיד חכם, is ממזר קדם, is כן ממזר קדם לכן גו. In lach yesem, you have to save people. And of course the gdushi of the personality plays an important role. Is ממזר תלמיד חכם קדם לכן גו דלם הורץ. And if it's true of ממזר, it's certainly true of גר. And I'll give you an example. The Rambam has the list of the Shalsheles HaKabbalah, of the Maser, Shein, 42 Deres, 42 generations, between Marbar Alas Ravasi and Meshe Rabbeinu, Meshe Rabbeinu. Among them he has two, Shmaya Vaftali. Shmaya Vaftali, and the Rambam says, Gera Tzedek. The Gemara in Yumi would confirm it. But the Gemara in Yumi, you don't know exactly where the Gerim themselves or the were descendants of Gerim. But in Rambam, the Rambam says, Mifuresh, who Shmaya v'Aftalin Gerah Tzedek. If the Rambam says that Shmaya v'Aftalin were Gerah Tzedek, so the Rambam means they themselves were going first. But in the Gemara in Yumi also calls them Bnei Amimim, the King Godel who felt hurt when the people left him and joined Shmaya v'Aftalin. So he called Shmaya v'Aftalin Bnei Amimim, the children of non-Jews. Apparently they themselves were Gerah Tzedek. No. We know that the Rambam, for where the Rambam enumerates the Shalsheles HaKabbalah, he always, I mean, after all, there were hundreds and thousands of Bnei Yisrael in each generation. When he says, for instance, Vabaye Kibbul Merabe, it doesn't mean only Vabaye Kibbul Merabe. Hundreds of Chachmei Chazal Kibbul Merabe. But Abaye Verove was the God Lado. I mean, while the Sanhedrin was in existence, so the Rambam mentions the Masere, Kibbul, who Kibbul, he cannot mention all Shimsk enemy, we don't know their names. So the Rambam will always mention the name of the Nosi and the Abed. Usually the Zugis most probably, my Vartalin belonged to the Zugis. The Zugis most probably consisted of the Nosi and the Abed. So Shmai Vaftalin, the one who was the Nosi of the Sanhedrin, since their names are mentioned among the Chachmei Maaseh, the Braise, I mean the Mishnah Novice mentioned them. Shmai Vaftalin came from him. So apparently Shmai Vaftalin, I mean, one of them was the Nosi, the other one, Abbas, it means that Shmai or Aftalin, probably Shmai, was the Nosi of the Sanhedrin. No, it's like a question which rises. By prima facie, it's insoluble. How could a Nosi of the Sanhedrin be a girl? And the Gemara says, I feel I was Garguse, if that is a well which you distribute water, so he cannot be appointed as the, what shall I say, as the inspector or the inspector of the well who distributes the water. So this office is denied to a girl. But the most exalted office, I mean, in our history, the most exalted office. Is there an office more exalted than to be the Nosis? I don't know. I mean, you know what the Rambam writes about Bez Nagodol Shemashalayim. I mean, if somebody remembers it, the Rambam writes about Bez Nagodol Shemashalayim. And the Rambam is careful with words, I can say. Bez Nagol Shibashalayim, a Mika Tere Shibalpe, they are the foundation of Tere Shibalpe, Vereim Amudei Ayroe, they are the pillars of Ayroe, Umeem Choku Mishpat Yeitze Lechol Yisroel. And they are the teachers and the legislators of the entire Knesset Yisroel. So this most exalted office, which was the office of whom? Whose office was it? Meshe Rabbeinu. The Ram says, "Ba'anosi eimi tachad Meshe Rabbeinu." Very strange. The Ram minichas Sanhedrin says, "Agodil shenema osfol yishivim ish mizikne Yisroel u Meshe al gabeim shenema v'siatz v'shamimos har yishivim v'echod הגודל בחוכמה שבכולם בשביל נעשה ראש עליה והוא ראש הישיבה והוא שקר עם נעשה החכום עם נוסי בכל מוקד והוא העים את תחס מי שרבנו. It is he personalized מי שרבנו. It's not just about us. There was only one nasi, namely who? Meshe. That there was only one king of, namely Am. The following king in Berlin just personify Am. Asher Kedushonu b'Kedushos Yishal Am. We don't say Asher Kedushonu b'Kedushos Yishal Kuhuno. We want to say Asher Kedushonu b'Kedushos Yishal Kuhuno. Because there is no separate Kedushos Kuhuno. The Kedushos Kuhuno consists in impersonating, in the metaphysical sense, are the same as Nosi in Sanhedrin. Not just there is a Nosi. The Nosi is Meshe. The eternal Meshe, which is reincarnated and re-personified every time a Nosi is appointed. With this office, the most sacred, the most exalted office was turned over to Shmai Raftan. Can you say that Ger is inferior in Kedushas Yisrael to native Jew? It's impossible. So the question was, so I asked once my father, Chenon Roch, so what is Aloche? As Ger is possible, Lodin? How can you imagine, I mean, Shemayu is possible Lord and was disqualified, I mean, to render halachic decisions, his possible Lord should be the Nosi of the Sanhedrin. So my father answered me, what should happen according to your opinion? If Shemayu was the God Lador, Shemayu apparently was the God Lador, so the God Lador should not be appointed as Nosi, not only Nosi, not even as a member of the Sanhedrin. Absurd. And somebody who knows much less should be appointed as Nosi. I mean, the father told me that in Minui, in a Tere Minui, is a Ger not disqualified. There are two kinds of Minui. There are administrative Minui, there are political Minui. Reish Garguse, which the Gemara in Yivomi speaks, is administrative appointment. To be in charge of the water, of distribution of water. It's commissioner of water. You don't appoint the Ger as a commissioner of water. All right? Because this administrative office, Mekerev Ochich Otosim Alechon Melech, means Melech in the sense of any administrative appointment. Well, Melech is also administrative appointment. But there is another kind of appointment. Unos v'lishiv mish mizikne Yisrael. ודיברת עמך ועצלת מהרוח אשר הולך ועצלתי מהרוח אשר הולך I'll speak to thee and I'll bestow my spirit upon thee and my spirit upon thee will emanate and be bestowed upon them. That's exactly this is why how does the Rambam know that the Nosef Sanhedrin is emitachas Meshe Rabbeinu, the serene personification, the reincarnation of Meshe Rabbeinu, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Meshe. I would not bestow my spirit separately upon each one of them, but through thee. V'yaradeti imoch, v'dibarti, v'yaradeti, v'dibarti imoch, v'atzalti min ha-ruach asher olecho. They share in the Ruach HaKadosh of Meshe Rabbeinu. And this, according to the Rambam, applies not only to the 70 Skenim, which constituted the first Sanhedrin, but every Sanhedrin throughout the millennia and the centuries. But every Sanhedrin, actually, I mean, after all, the most exalted institution in Yahadus, I mean, shared in Ruchei Shal Meshe Rabbeinu, in the spirituality and inspiration, the Ruach HaKadosh of Meshe Rabbeinu. This is a ger, this is measured only by two criteria. A theoretical criteria, whether it's Chacham Yisroel, whether his scholarship is great, the greatest as far as scholarship, and also as far as his moral behavior is concerned, the Hasidus. No, not at all. The Melech is called Nosi, but the Nosi is not Melech. The Melech is called Nosi Kiyachto. But Anosi is not Nana. Is the Anosi, this is depends upon Yire and Yidia Satere. There are two criteria which you have to meet. Gera, no Gera, might be a king God, who cares about.
Just
no, because there was no yiches. The Gemara didn't say because of Gera. First of all, you don't know Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, certainly the father was a Gera. Rabbi Akiva might have been an inmate of Timim Yisrael. But that time, they were looking for yiches mishpoche. Rabbi Akiva had no yiches mishpoche, so the Gemara in Brochus. Rabbi Lozman Zari had yiches mishpoche. Rabbi Akiva could not. How far could Rabbi Akiva trace his genealogy? I mean, father, fine. Okay. What's about to say there?
Yes.
Just a moment, I'll come to you. Don't worry, I'll come to you. So father told me, you mean we had it, we debarred him or assault him in a ruach? Did it make a difference whether the God of Israel was a ger or a king God or Nachshon ben Aminadab? If Nachshon ben Aminadab had been qualified, he would have shared in Beruch HaShalmeshe. And if a ger is qualified, under two aspects, under the aspect of what? Of Tere, knowledge, intellectually, and also morally, chassidus. So simply is it a girl who was one of these Shivim Iskeli. So the question is, all right, a girl is still possible? All right, very nice, possible. So a matter of fact, up to here with my father's, here, now on his mind. I don't know, I don't remember whether I asked my father the question or not. Still a girl is possible on all right. Wonderful, everything. The appointment is ahead of him. The ahead of him. It depends upon, exclusively upon two criteria, namely, Yidia Satere and Yir and Havas Hashem. But it's not depend upon the family background of the particular individual. Yes, correct. But still there is a law, a girl possible on. So I'll give you the answer. The Rambam Shita is that in every dinter, every best, not only Sanhedrin, every best, Bezen Shashleisho after Sanhedrin there. Then, for instance, they have to decide a matter, or issue a verdict, a psak aloche. There are two minyonim. There are two minyonim, omdu l'minyan twice. There's a double decision every best. One decision is in abstract, whether the din aloche is like that. For instance, there's an interior between Reuven, Horeb, and Hefesh. There is a question whether Reuven, the instrument, was thrown at Shimon, was Bekeach Rishni or Bekeach Sheni. I mean, you know, sometimes quite questions. And then that question, is at the first stage of the Maso Matan. There is just a controversy. There is only a theoretical controversy. It's not din yet. It comes under a roe. What is the din atere about keach sheni? Proter, of course. What's the din atere about shege kor lemezit? Is a geladam neregola, vene neregola? Fine, I mean. Or what is the aloche made to mix a sataine? There is a edam saye. Am I relieved of the shwe or not relieved of the shwe? The discussion, the first discussion, what the Ram calls Maso Matan, is not related to the person, to the litigant. Not at all. Not related to them. It is simply an abstract discussion at the level, I mean, of Hiroe, which is not related to Masa. Nor is it related to a certain single individual. All right, it happens so that it is important. The results of the of the debate in Sanhedrin Gdele will be pertinent to a certain case, but there is a Miyan Shalaroi. After the Miyan Shalaroi took place, Omdu Le Miyan, and there is, for instance, that Keach Rishni is Chayim, Keach Sheni is Potter, or Shege Kor Lemezit. Is Geladam in Neregolov. After that, so Bezden is concerned with the individuals, with the case. Then is a second meaning, whether Ishplaini Chayevato or Ishplaini Zakayato. Idar 2 million. 1 million, 1 euro is at the level of, what you say, it? Theory? I mean, das Teira? Simple aloche? Whether Ida Messiah is Mechaev Ashwe or is Petam Ashwe or not Petam Ashwe. Whether aloche is like the Rabbi Netam or like the Rambam. This is one question. And this is a pure halachic debate. It has absolutely no relationship to the Gava, to the litigants, or to the people, to the parties which are involved in the case, and which precipitated this particular discussion. Bez Nagodu forgets about it. After the aloche brura, the theoretical and the pure aloche has been established at a speculative level. So then Bezdin concerns itself with the application. If it is application, then it's not a roi anymore. Now what is it? This. This is a Rambam, this is not mine. I want you to show. I'll show you a Rambam like this. Fine. Yeah, Masim Lekuna is very good. It is a Talmud Chacham in addition to it. But if he is the same Talmud Chacham as someone else, but if the plebeian is the greatest Talmud Chacham Dagger, and there is Aida Yachs in Yerushalayim, Tashene Bord, and doesn't know, so you prefer Shmaya to Mr. Sons or to Rabbi Sons. Zeshon Umenim. Dine Momenes. וכן התומס וכן התארס אוהבו בני רב ותלמידי פליז ליסן קרפו לתלרם פרק י' א' הלוך הזיין דין המומנס וכן התומס וכן התארס אוהבו בני או רב ותלמידי מיני מיסם בשני ודין הנפושס ומקיס וקידוש החדש מיני מיסם באחר The question is, how does Ahavu Bnei get on the best of Dini Momenes and Dini Nefoshes? Look, apparently, that according to the Rambam, they were craving the Bezdin. So the Rambam himself says, Zeshon Menim, Oavim Aben, Ben Bechot Ben Bishnayim, Gensho Yoechot Mem Besanhedron, Vashen Oyo Min HaTalmidim, Shnema Yesh Lila Mitzchus Echevo, Shem and Dvoi, it means it was not in the Bezdin, but it was outside of it. Among those who are present. Shemin dvoro v'neisim v'neisnin nimei v'nimnin nimei. So, bubishaz gmar din, ein gemrim es adin bekrevim. Shadayonim akrevim psulim lot. So the Rambam has here two levels of what? Of ma'ase best. No, we will come to minu. Ma'ase best. First of all, it's a theoretical level. At that level, you forget, Bezdin forgets about the individuals, about the case itself, about the litigants. It's not a question of Chayev and Potter related to two individuals. It's simple Alpidin, per se. It's pure Allah, pure Psak, not Psak, pure Eroi. And here is Abu Bnei, sometimes accounted as two, sometimes as one, because he's influenced by the father. But actually, Korev does not interfere here. You count the opinions of Kravitz. However, Bishaz Gmardin, is it? Bishaz Gmardin, is then the Kravitz disqualify themselves, remove themselves, and then it is already Psagdin. Of course, as Psagdin, it is Psagdin. It's Misha Kosholoid, Kosholog, Misha Kosholoid, Kosholog. Is the craven disqualify themselves, remove themselves? Then there is another meal, you stand up and count, and you count. And this is like Mardin. If in Sanhedrin, if this is true of any person, this is true. Of Bezdin Shel Gimel, which is not the Rebbe Shel Kol Yisrael. The function of Bezdin Shel Gimel is to render decisions, juridic decisions. Is still before you render the decision, there is what a stage at which Bezdin has to arrive at conclusions, at a speculative. manner, the theoretical speculative manner. What was the function of Bez Nagonos Mirzalai? Basically, not many things require the approval of Bez Nagonos Mirzalai. Not many things. How many things require? Mitzvot Kiddush Yom Azores. Nira Nedachas. Now, often did the case of Nira Nedachas take place? What happened? Novi Asheker. King Godel. King Godel Shechoto. All right, so it was not necessary to have a Bez Nagodo. I mean, sit in Lishk Sagozis every day. It's very rare cases. Yeah, the Gemara says they used to decide the Yichas from Kune. All right, but they used to sit there, day in, day out, until Chatzis. It means almost Netzach Hama until Chatzis. What did they do all the time? You'll ask me, what did they do all the time? I always ask. About a cave. Tera says Chelef Avedosfer. Tera gives Chodalet Matnes Kunet the cave in exchange for the service he gives. What does a king give? What does he give? Service is not like that. As Warren Tainis and the Rambam Tehamili says, as the Kuvune Kenim were divided into 24 Mishmeres. Yeah. Each Mishmer was divided the body of his. It means a Cain used to work, be engaged in the service one day a week, twice a year. Almost twice a year. You raise Chilav Avidasra and Chilav Avidasra.
It's inflated.
But Chilav Avidasra. Why should I give them Truman and Thomas Meissner and Pizna Ben and Chavdalat Matnes Kune? You just read it. About Chavdalat Matnes Kune and Shabbos. The answer is apparently that Cain had another function. The function from Korban was the secondary function. There was a fact. Yerum Mishpatech Ole Yaakov Yisroos Ole Yisrael, of course. And to say Shurim is a job. I mean. It takes many hours to prepare the Shia, and it takes a couple of hours to deliver a Shia. If it is true, I'm not joking, I'm not in that mood now. I'm serious about it. If it is true of the Kelim, the Chadvorim Kalvochemer, Ben Bdeisha Kalvochemer, it is true of whom? What did Ram say? Bez Nagodo Shemoshalayim? I mean, Imehem Chokum Mishpot Yeitel Chol Yisrael, all Shalas. Ki Cholem Chodol Ola Mishpot, Ben Din Ledin, Ben Dam Ledam, Ben Nega Lenega, Dibri Mishrecho, I mean. 99% of the time was consumed by Bez Nagodo, not as far as Dinim are concerned, or Piske Dinim. For instance, to George or to individuals, or Ayira Nedachas, was spent not on Psak Dinim, pertaining to Novi Asheker, or on Baishen, or no Novi Asheker at all. King Godel, when did it happen that King Godel was demoted? I mean, a corrupt King Godel, that never happened. They used to die by themselves, as I'll say, Shri Mason, by Mitzim Shnosam, as I'll say. Yeah. Very seldom. So 99% of the time, what the Bez Nagodo consumed, in what area? In Talmud Torah. In understanding the halacha, in classifying the halacha, in defining the halacha, in inferring, and so forth as well. Before that, Shmaya v'Avtalim could have been appointed.
Just a minute. Fine.
The question is only, where was the gap in the Midbar? You see, you just one question. Where was the gap in the Midbar? No. In the Machnes, where was the gap in the Midbar? The Chumash Torah doesn't tell us anything. Where were the gap? Gere HaTzedek, I don't mean the Asafs, but the Gere HaTzedek, where were they, the Gere HaTzedek? Is the Gere HaTzedek, might be Ami after all of it, when the David Machnes. There was no Machne Gere, did you ever hear of Machne Gere? It's quite possible, as Machne Gere, who were distributed among the David Machnes Israel. You were geir, but Safsuf were the geirim, the Ram says, but Safsuf were the geirim, Shenim geir HaTzedek. It's a different story, but it's a different geir HaTzedek and geir Shenim HaTzedek. this is Shilimish, might have been a girl, but I don't know what happened during the Shilimish, but Sanhedrin, the Minuteri Sanhedrin, is dependent upon two qualifications, namely Chochma Satere and Yira Shomayim. All right, I don't have noch mich, but what am I saying? Wie schäft es Israel, wenn ich sage, ja. He doch had administrative jobs. He's a man like that. I mean, let us come to this. The man has got, Ishmael Vaftalian is a gear kosher to be in Sanhedrin Gdele. On the contrary, Sanhedrin Gdele is worse in this regard. Because Sanhedrin Gdele has no function, has no mission of teaching. Sanhedrin Gdele has only one mission, namely what? Nefoshis, to act in criminal cases. So the appointment to Sanhedrin Gdele is administrative nature, a judicial administrative nature. If it's a judicial administrative appointment, it's a girl saying to us, Malach HaMelech, Mekerv Achich, to us, Malach HaMelech, Yisuch HaLos, Malach Ish Nochri, Yashalei Achecho. But a minute to Bezna Godel B'Yoshalayim, after all, don't forget something else. The minute Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin existed after the destruction of the Second Council. Until Tveria, what did Sanhedrin in Tveria do? There were no Dinin Nefoshis anymore, there were no Horim Anidoches. Before, what did they do? Yoshu Bechnuis. They led the Gizah. What did they do with the Sanhedrin? There was no Mishpat anymore. No, it's not with the Aloch in the Mishneh, Aloch in Kedivrezeh, it was, why cannot an Amere disagree with Atane? Because the Amere, there was no Sanhedrin anymore. But Atanoim, their opinions were accepted or rejected by the Sanhedrin, by Bezna Godel. Anyway, what I want to tell you, I can give you many examples, that the Sanhedrin, that Minuteri Ager, is not excluded from Minuteri, and Ager is not excluded from something else, from Nivue. It's very strange, very strange. He is excluded from being appointed from administrative appointments like Rosh Gargusse, like a water commissioner, but he's not appointed from Nivue. A Vadi Ager? A Vadi Ager? Look, will you tell me that a Vadi Ager was not in Sanhedrin? It was not in the Dinish Aliyo? Of course it was with Dinish Aliyo. Because the first job of Sanhedrin was the Masere. This transmission, this passing on of the Terem from generation to generation. And this again, I mean, is completely dependent upon two criteria, namely, Dias HaTere and Yerushalayim, that's all. The Chochmah B'Yira, that's all. And if the Ger is qualified, so the Ger is appointed. And Israel is rejected. As a matter of fact, so Shmai V'Aftarim were in the Sanhedrin. When they discussed, what shall I say, Mechitzes, Shmai V'Aftarim could participate in Mechitzes. In a discussion about, what shall I say, about Pigul and Eso, or about Tumesmes and Mekvoyes, could he participate or not? Well, of course, the Sanhedrin, not all Sanhedrin knew as much. The other members of Sanhedrin did not know as much as Shmai V'Aftarim, so they were consulted. And they were members of Sanhedrin. Then the same Sanhedrin, they could discuss Sanhedrin, they could discuss B'Mitzir and B'Basra, why not? Whenever Ha'ira Nedachas, the broad, the population of Ha'ira Nedachas, so also they could discuss Vishmai V'Aftalion, the aloche per se, the pure aloche. But when it came to application, so Shmai V'Aftalion used to excuse themselves. They simply disqualify themselves. Just a moment. And they used to take two from the Talmidim, and they used to be married. That when the Ram says Shmai, why did the Ram say Shmai V'Aftalion Gerat Tzedekinu? Why does the Rambam has to tell us? And I believe the Ram said it about Rabbi Kiveir, that it was a girl. Okay. Why does the Ram have to say? The Ram in the Rambam speaks about the Masir. Who is interested to know their genealogy, the background, the family tree? Who is interested to know? Why did the Ram say Gerat Tzedekinu? Because the Ram wanted to emphasize something. As far as Chachma Masir is concerned, he is a ger, not excluded from the Chachma. In effect, we had gerim who were the Nisim from Sanhedrin. One was the Nosi, the one that, can you tell me that a ger does not possess as much as a Gdushas Yisrael, as a native Israel? Can you tell me that a ger is inferior in the ladder of Gush and Israel? He's not inferior at all. See, psulim. Psulim, is not indicative of inferiority. I always say, the going from village, right? He was not a king. Yeah. And there was an issue, most probably, I'm a ratzin in his generation. Well, there was some shoemaker, or some tailor, or star, and then all it's an issue, but he happened to be a king. So the goyim could not go up to the duchen, the platform, and raising hands and say Yivarecho. He didn't know yet that ever rabbi blesses the congregation before the party. Yeah, he couldn't. Had the goyim done it, he would have violated Ayasei, Kazoel Duchen, Babasei, correct? Yeah. And Amhoretz, and according to Ram Natol Amhoretz, but even if he's a Balaveris, he should impart the blessings. Baltimore, Mayel, Birkas, Keynes, and somebody, the Koror, the Shoner, not observant, used to raise his hands and say, Yivarecho to the Goyim. Does it mean that this shoemaker or tailor was superior to the Goyim? As far as Kedushas Yisrael is concerned? Even here at Kedushas Kehuna? And the personalistic worth of the Goyim, in personalistic terms, who was below that of the king of Moritz? Certainly not. For isn't there a man, there are Rishonim who say, a Meshe Rabbeinu King God Eloyah is only during the Shiva Simei Amine, not later. Aaron was kosher, not of Aviv was kosher, the Kune. Who were kosher, the Kune, Meshe Rabbeinu was disqualified from Kune. Many Rishonim say, a Meshe Rabbeinu King God Eloyah all his life. But the Rishonim who say, a Meshe Rabbeinu King God Eloyah only during the Shiva Simei Amine. Will you tell me that Aaron was superior to Meshe Rabbeinu? Chas v'sholom, you shouldn't say that. So Hechsher and Psul is never the barometer of the axiological worth of a human being. And that's why it's ridiculous to speak about Psulim as indicators of some hierarchy in Gdushas Yisrael. There is no hierarchy in Gdushas Yisrael. There is Gdushas Yisrael, Gdushas Levi, Gdushas Kehune. Sometimes Gdushas Yisrael is above Gdushas Kehune. However, Gdushas Kehune, I mean, qualifies a person to perform certain duties, and Gdushas Yisrael does not. But as far as in terms of axiology, of personalistic axiological worth of the person, is Hechsher and Psul completely not indicators of that. And that's why, I mean, a lot of idle talk could have been eliminated if people would understand it. I mean. This is a gift. All right? What happens now? Love the team. When they start. Might apply to. In general, absul does not mean that the person is unworthy of it. Very worthy. Meshe Rabbeinu was certainly worthy of everything. But exclude. That's exactly what Kerach did not understand. When he said, Kechol Eido Kulam Gdeshim V'Seichom Ad Hashem U'madu Atis Naso Akol Hashem, he identified Hechsher and Psul with hierarchic axiology. But Kol Eido Kulam Gdeshim U'Meshe is also Kodesh, then there is not Tis Naso Akol Hashem, the Cain is not above. But the fact that a Cain is called upon to perform the Aveda and the Zarno is the Sepi, belongs into a different realm from Hechsher and Psul. But it's not a question of ontological worth or ontology or ontological dignity. Very simple, I don't understand. Right, I want just another thought. This is one thought of mine. That's what I told you. I want to say something else. There is now, the Rambam Shite in Gerei Mordechai, in Gerei David Ushleime, in Gerei Shimshin, you know, from Achlekes in the Gemara, Tanoim, Yevomis, whether Gerei Mordechai and Esther are Gerei Tzadek or not, we pass now the Agere. We pass now Machlekes, Rabbi Yudah, what's the name of Dodo Tanoim? Aram Nechari, correct. We pass as Gerei Mordechai and Esther, Gerei David Ushleime, are Gerei. The Rambam is another sort, it's nothing to do with that. The Rambam somehow is very strange about it. Very strange about it. If you have the Rambam, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you to read it. Because Geos is Surabir. Aloha Yudalet, Perk Yudgimu, Per Aloha Yudalet. I want to say something which might frighten you, and I don't know, I'm not too sure that it is true. But I believe the Rambam has it in mind. Because otherwise the Rambam's, the two halachas are complete mystery. You don't know what the Rambam wants to tell us. Al yale al daitecho, sheshimen ha-meshishim shen, excuse me, ha-meshiyas Yisroel, eshleime melech Yisroel, shenikro yidid ha-deshem, Nosu noshim nochri es begiyusam. Have married after Gentile women. Elosoda dovo kachu. Then, when a letter is sent out, you should bring a Yerdeh, you understand very well that a Yerdeh with the Rambam is not good, and the Rambam without the Gemara is not good. So you say, bring a Yerdeh means a Yerdeh, a Rambam, and Gemara. Now, Chumash certainly. Chumash certainly.
Yerdeh is an abbreviation.
No. Al yalla al daitcho shimshein ha-meshiyas Yisroel, ishleim melech Yisroel. I would beg you to pay attention to the Ram because it's an enigma. Nosu noshim nochriyes begiyusam. No, chas v'sholim, listen. El sod ha-dovo kachos, ha-sod. Sh'amitzvu anecheino kishiyove yageir yageyeres lizgayer. Beit kinachov. Investigate. Shema biglal momein sheyiteil, ei bishvil shvoro, shvoro sheyizekolo, ei mipnei apachad boli kanes ledas. Apachad boli kanes ledas is gere Mordechai v'Esther. Shvoro e momein apparently is gere David Ushleime. Apparently. One joins the fall because he wants to protect himself against danger. The other one joins the fall because he wants to benefit by it. You're right. V'mishu beitkin achov shemayin of nosen bisho yehudis. Also is important. V'mishu hi beitkin shemayinei of nosno bibochru mebachure Yisrael. Im leinimtso lehem ilo, it means there is no ulterior motive. Im leinimtso lehem ilo acheres, it means no ulterior motive. Medine som kevet el atero. Excuse me, I lost it. V'terach sheyesh basi yosef. Alami Oretz, by the way, what does that mean? Terach,